Ellen and I are going to go to Africa and to Europe. And we're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to have a wonderful time because we're going for ourselves. We're going to go and have a good time for ourselves. We're going to be ourselves and have fun. We're going to share with the people. We're going to tell them all about our philosophy, our thinking, our dreams, our goals. And if any of them are not interested in our thinking, our dreams, and our goals, that's their privilege. They can leave. And anyone who is interested, they can stay. That's part of the game. Now, we are not going there so that they will make us happy, or they will pay us money, or they will not pay us money. We're not going there so that they will attend and learn great things from us. That might happen, and that's great. But we're going there because we're going to be ourselves and have fun. We're just going to have a wonderful time. And there's no rush. There's no panic. There's no worry about anything. We will have all sorts of good things to share with them. And if we duplicate something, that's just too bad, because we're duplicators, you know. I like to tell about the story of the girl in love, you know that. It's just such a nice, simple story that says a lot. And I tell a few other stories, too, you know, and they're wonderful. But I am living this life for me, not for somebody else. Now, the most precious times for me are the time for meditation, the time for looking within. We're going to go to Europe and Africa as though we had never been there before. And we're going to suggest to the people that they look within themselves to find the master teacher. They look within themselves to find God, to find the spirit, to find allness. But they look within this. We're not going to tell them to read our book and to take our course and to do all that stuff. We may add that on at the end, but in the beginning and in our talks and in our presentation, we're just going to say, hey, you got the teacher within. You don't need any outward teacher. You don't need the University of Healing, University of Philosophy. You don't need any big schools. You don't need any bodies, mothers, papas, or whoever. You just listen to the divine within you. And when we teach this to them, teach it. We teach best what we most need to learn. When we share this with them from our very heart, we can only share it with them if we are in balance. And we are not in balance when we forget to take time to be at peace, when we forget to take time to listen within. And I am teaching you to take time to listen within by 5 minutes before each activity. You sit in peace, and you relax, and you listen, and you have miracles happen. Now, if you're going to think that something else is more important than that sitting and listening within, you're in the wrong place, all of you. If you think that you have a right to come late to these sessions and not have time for the meditation, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. Now, Ellen was fiddle-faddling with the dogs down there when she should have been up here. Well, I have to feed the dogs because they're going to stay down here because Brian's going to be up here. Ellen. Kill the dogs. Kill Brian. Put all these things to sleep. The only thing that's important, Ellen, is you. If you don't take the time for your personal meditation, for your personal introspection, all that outer stuff is immaterial. And those dogs are not going to starve for want of their morning treat that you didn't have a chance to give. They're not going to starve, but you are going to starve. You're going to feel terrible because you didn't give it to them, and you'll feel terrible because you didn't fulfill what you wanted to do. And you see, it's not others, not the outer that is having a problem. It's us in the inner. We feel bad about it. Every time I pick on Sylvia, she thinks that her world's coming to an end. She thinks that everything's going kaplooey. And it is, because she's not just sitting there in balance and saying, Herb, what do you have to say? That's good. I will follow that, or I will not follow that, as I wish, and then go on. But don't let yourself lose your cool. Don't let yourself lose your time of listening within, being at peace with yourself, listening to the divine inside you. That's very important. We have this at our seminars around the country. 5 minutes before you are sitting in your place, quietly, eyes closed. It's not like Swami Rama when his master said to him, "Are you meditating?" He said, "Yes, master." He wasn't meditating. You aren't meditating. If you hear me clinking on the table, if you hear me putting food in my bowl, if you hear me doing anything, you're not meditating. I should be, not I, but the sounds of the world should be just invisible to you when you're listening on your own inner level, you know? So, how many years have we been teaching this to you? And how many years have I been consistently saying the same thing? And how many years have you consistently felt, that's the 5 minutes, it's not important, I'm beyond that, I'm so superior, I am a belong. Hey, can you walk on water yet? Show me. Can you teleport, levitate, do these things? Of course you can, but you're not doing it because you haven't created yourself in your meditative self. That's why. You're not instantly healing yourself when you can, because you haven't trained yourself. A good pianist plays the piano well, mechanically well, because they practice. Now, if they don't practice, they're not going to play it mechanically well. Oh, you say, well, some people are lucky that way. Hey, they practice on another level that we don't even know about. Where did Mozart practice before he picked up the violin, huh? He practiced in his heart, in his head, in his being before he even did that. And was he good? Very good. Now, are you able to say that you practice in your head so completely that you can just do whatever you wish to do? You can. But, hey, this is up to you. Totally up to you. And it's not something I do for you or I do against you. And I know you oftentimes think that I do it against you. Ellen was very irritated with me this morning, too. And you have these little petty irritations, little petty things that get to you because you are not saying. Ellen said, and I said, Ellen, what did you say? I said that. And I said, Ellen, don't shout at me. I said, just speak clearly whatever you said. Because you were garbling what you were saying. You're talking away from me. You're talking in your beard. And you were not talking clearly. Because a lot of times I listen to my tapes and I hear myself mumbling. I hear myself swallowing my words or doing silly things. And you do too. But you don't listen to your tapes. You don't listen to how you sound. You don't really care. You don't care how well you present yourself to the public. You listen and say, oh, aren't I good? Aren't I good? Shit! How can I improve? That's what you're saying. The aren't I good, that's there. I mean, you wouldn't be here at school if you weren't good. But how can I improve? That's the point. How can I be the very best that I'm able to be? That's the point. Shit or no shit. You know. But how can I be the very best? That's what we're here for. Now, Ingeborg, I came in this morning, and you were preparing food for the table. At the time, you should have been meditating. And I said, Ingeborg, go sit in the living room. Now, I explained to you, you don't have to have everything ready precisely before the meal begins. After the meal has begun and people are starting to serve themselves, you go up and you get the coffee. You go up and you get the tea. You go up and you get the stuff that might be needed. And if it's a hot dinner or something like that, then you have the plates out and you serve them. But you don't serve the plates while people are sitting there meditating for 5 minutes. You don't let the food get cold. That's not part of the game. And that's not part of the game, what you were doing, getting the stuff ahead of time when you didn't get it far enough ahead of time because you didn't have time to do it. Okay, now, am I clear? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You realize how mad I am at you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So,
in quotes,
yeah. So, now, let's just get our act together, know that we are here for a program, and if you're not here for a program, I was walking up the path here this morning to the house, and as I was walking along, I was thinking to myself, you know, I've pretty well done all the things I wanted to do with the university and with these things here. I wonder what I'm going to do next. I wonder what I'm going to create next. And I thought, well, I could write some more books. I could get busy and having more seminars and more lectures and stuff like that, and get away from the administrative activity of the university here, not be concerned about how the books are published or how this is that, because let that up to you guys, you know. And I could just go on and do my own little thing. And I thought, yeah, be yourself and have fun. That's what it's all about. Now, each one of you are probably the biggest farts that ever walked the face of the earth. Now, why do I say that? I say that because you chose to go to school and learn. And then at school, you get mad at the subjects, and you get mad at the teacher, and you get mad at everything, and you don't learn. And so then you wonder why you're not progressing. Well, you have chosen to be the abbot. You wanted to be the abbot. You wanted to be the president. And I think you were really crazy to want to be the president. Just ask Ellen. My God, you don't have time to do any of your meditation stuff. You don't have time to do any of your writing. You don't have time to do any. And you want to do all that administrative stuff because you want the big feather in your hat front. And that's so silly. Because the most important thing for each of us is to walk our spiritual path. Now, Ellen has that down pretty pat. She can do that and walk her spiritual path. But it is not for everybody. Ingeborg couldn't do that. That's not Ingeborg's thing. Ingeborg has many other talents, many other geniuses about her. But being an executive, being a manager, that's not one of them. And you know why it's not one of them? Because you judge people. And Sylvia is having trouble with that too when she's judging people. When she is giving people a job to do and then judging them to see whether they did it or whether they did it nicely. You see, if you're a good manager, a good boss, you give out the jobs, and if people don't do them, then you give them a different job. If they don't do them, you give them a different job. If they don't do them, well, you just give them no job at all and let them be bored to death and they'll leave. You follow me? But we don't order people around. We don't tell people what they have to do. We just give them the responsibilities that it's our job to give them, and we do not check on them to see if they do it. Now, Daniel is proofreading the book. He's scanning it and proofreading it. And when they're done, I want us to have four separate discs on which all of the art and science is on. One disc for each. The art and science on each one, the full volume of the art and science on a disc, okay?
Yeah.
And then each of us has one. And then Sylvie has one, you have one, I have one, and then we have one for the archive. You understand?
Yeah.
Because then if I start rearranging my disc, I don't have to worry that I'm rearranging a final copy. You follow me? Mm-hmm. Because I may try a few experiments with it, and of course I know each of you will try some experiments with it. But your first experiment is to make a runoff copy, right? Okay. But we could, with a few fell swoops, instantly set it in larger type. We could instantly do this and instantly do that. But then we have to check it again and check it again. And right at the moment, all we want to do is get a few copies off, okay? Okay. So these are important things. These are important things that we want to consider. And I want each one of you to know your priorities. I want each one of you to know what is responsible for you. If we go to Africa and we don't have 30 copies of the Art and Science of Wholeness, well, no big deal. If we have it, wonderful. If we have it, wonderful. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
This is where our values are. Our values are for us, not for the other person. If we can do something nice for the other person, wonderful. If not, wonderful. But first, I'm number one. We teach that. We should live it. We should practice it. And if when it's time for us to leave on the ninth, right, of October, when it's time for us to leave, if there are some things that aren't there, so what? So what? We'll have a wonderful program anyhow. And we'll do wonderful things anyhow. But don't get all shook up. And never cry when I give you a suggestion, any of you. Because you are making the biggest fools out of yourself by crying, because you're saying, let's see now, maybe I can manipulate this guy by crying. And I have been cried to by the best criers in the world. Even people who were dying, who were hurting, terribly hurting, wanting to die. And I said to them, you want to live or you want to die? And they were crying their eyes out. Their body was shivering and shaking. And I said, you want to live or you want to die? And I had to be strong. Some said they wanted to die. Most say they want to live. But if they want to live, then I have to say, well, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Because that's all you're doing. And that's all any of you are doing. When you are pulling this game with me of crying, or pulling this game with me of telling me that, Herb, you're terrible. You make me feel terrible. Herb, I'm leaving you. I will not sit here and listen to this. Oh, you will sit and listen to it, or you'll get out. Because I haven't time to say it twice. I'll say it maybe 50 times, but not time to say it twice. Enjoy your breakfast as much as I enjoy you, because I love you very much.